So much that in here from the very beginning, when Joseph had the dream, and you know, I was home preparing and just thinking about tonight's service. How many times people heard this in the past, but it was just a story. And because it was just a story, how many young men that heard the story as a story, that had basically the same dream Joseph had to be used by God, and never pursued it because it was never fully taught, and there was never a full understanding to what God's word is. But thank God for grace. Thank God he's taken the time out and he showed us if we'll just listen. You know, we got to follow. I was asked a question yesterday, just a general question about God's word. And I gave this answer. You know, it was just about things being preached in churches across America. I said, you know, the biggest downfall of the church is we don't use God's word the way he said. We won't repeat what Jesus said because everybody says something wrong with it. But we'll repeat what everybody else says. I said, and that's where we fell short. We've repeated, and it's okay. Everybody will agree with it. But you start repeating what Jesus said, people start finding problems with it. And the reason is they don't want to submit to authority. But see, in Luke, Jesus spoke with authority. His life was all about authority. And it wasn't his authority, it was the authority God gave him. It was a God-given authority. And we all have that same thing. We all have that same anointing, that same power, but we have to learn how to use it. We have to learn how to work it. But see, sometimes we're just satisfied right where we are. And I was thinking about, you know, here's a young man thrown in a pit, then sold to slavery. Got put right underneath the king. See, this is where we have to be careful. The devil lied to a woman about Joseph. You know, I just asked the Lord, what's going on here? Just show me something. And I've never seen this in all the times I've ever heard Joseph preached or preached it or spoke on it. I've never seen this till today. The devil whispered in her ear and said, see, look at him. That young man's checking you out. He wants you. And she pursued it because she believed the lie. But little did she know that she was pursuing a man, a young man, that his heart was after God. In the midst of being sold, in the midst of being pushed away by his family because of a dream, because of the plan of God. Because that's what it was. It was God's plan. It was God's will. And then when he went back to get away from her, he left his coat. And then the devil lied again and said, see, now you have the proof. See, it don't matter what it looks like. If we trust God, the truth will always come out. Then he was thrown in prison. You know, I was asked about people coming to church, and this question come up not long ago from somebody that just, we were just talking about church, and They said, well, what about, you know, so-and-so been going to church all this time, and now all of a sudden they just quit going? I said, you know, if I do you something, you have all rights to get mad at me. You have all rights to be upset at me. But what happens is, somebody will do a person something, and they blame God. They get mad at God. And the first thing they say, well, that's supposed to be a Christian. Listen, we're all human. It don't give us an excuse to sin. But we need to quit getting mad at God for something we thought somebody else done us. Because most of the time when you sit down and talk about it, it was just a thought. Or it was a lie that somebody said. You see, you got to trust God that the truth will come out. And it might feel like we've been thrown in a pit. It might seem like we've been sold to slavery. See, God has a plan. And you know, I was, how many times we've went through things and we felt like nobody else was around. You know, when we started singing, I was back there and the Lord said, how many times you felt like you were all alone and you even felt like I left you? And he said, you looked around and you didn't see nobody. He said, you know where I was? He said, I was right underneath you because I was holding you up in my hands of protection. When you thought nobody cared, when you thought nobody was around, he said, I was carrying you. And how often we get upset because we look around and we feel like not even God's there. And the whole time he's holding us. And the reason we can't see him because we don't look down, we just look all around. And let me tell you something. There's not a place we could ever be that'll change who God is. But we just start taking the authority Jesus spoke with and apply it to our lives and start speaking in authority. And, you know, when he got the disciples to push the boat out, you know what faith will cause? Faith will cause obedience. You know, see, no doubt they listened to what he said as he began to teach. But there in the doubt in my mind that in the midst of them here, and when Jesus said, go put your net out, they thought in their mind, what do you know about fishing? You know, it'd be like somebody from New York coming down here and telling one of the fishing guides to go where they got to go catch a redfish. You know, I've had people fall just about every trip. You go on somewhere and they're looking around and says, man, that looks like a good spot right there. And after about the third time they tell you, I just tell them, that's why I'm standing behind the steering wheel and you're not. Because that ain't a good spot. If it be a good spot, I'd be there because I've been here all my life. You see, because they listened to what he said, because they understood who he was. It says when he called them, they didn't say, well, you know, I'm a fisherman, so let me just take my net with me. The Bible says they left everything. In other words, we got to quit trying to hold on to what we used to have before we got saved. And for a long time, people does that. You know, you look at people struggling, it's because they're trying to hold on to a little bit of stuff that God said let go. If we'd have needed it, he wouldn't ask us to get rid of it. But sometimes we just got to listen to him and be obedient. And let obedience cause faith and start trusting who he is. And let him be God. Let his word grab a hold of us. Listen, I tell you, just the other day I was going, so on my way to Baton Rouge. And, you know, I was all alone. And just, there's those moments It's a 2.5 hour ride. And it's just those times that he just shows up. And you just start feeling it. It ain't about shouting. It's not about jumping a pew. It's not about screaming and hollering. It's those times when that still small voice in that sweet presence of God just shows up. And he says, just let me hang out with you. Just let me show you how much I care about you. You know, and the guy that asked me the question yesterday, I told him, I said, listen to me. I said, I could go and we could start the biggest church you ever heard of. But there's something you have to do. You got to compromise the word of God. You got to just start telling people what they want to hear. Don't speak the truth. Just speak part of the truth. Just pick and choose what you're going to get out the scripture. And you can build the biggest church this parish has ever heard of. But when you speak the truth, people come against you. But my prayer is, you know, I don't get mad at them. I pray for them and say, Lord, just open up their mind. Open up the mind of their understanding. Let their minds be renewed. You know, if the church world, I'm talking about the church as a whole, has ever needed a renewing of the mind, it's now. You know, it's just like I had a guy ask me about the president. I said, it don't matter. I said, but one thing I'm going to tell you since you brought it up. If Donald Trump being president scares you, it's a good indication your life's not right with God. And maybe you need to get a relationship with God. Because if you got a God relationship through the Son, it don't matter who's president. It don't matter what the government says. It don't matter what they do. We can have peace. And that's what we got to trust God that much, that no matter what comes against the church, no matter what people say, we got to trust him that much that in him, we're going to make it. There ain't nothing the world can throw against us. But daily, we got to let him renew our mind. Every day, we got to let him renew our mind. Because if we don't, it'll get us. Now, we can't be running wild. We got to live cautiously. We got to be cautious of what we do. We got to be cautious of what we say, how we act. You know, that it's so powerful what we've been receiving just in a Torah portion alone. Just in a little while, we've been here since we started these Saturday nights. You know, I tell people we have Saturday night service. They look at you and think you done changed your religion. What kind of church y'all have? Look, it's the word. Now, my wife made a statement the other night that somebody asked for a copy of the Torah, but they didn't want the Rit HaRishah. One ain't going to work without the other. It's a book. It's all God's word. See, that's the problem in the world today. People pick and choose. You know, it's like going to the salad bar. You pick and choose what you want in your salad. You know, I was in a restaurant the other day and ordered a salad, and I got to looking in that thing, and I'm like, oh, Lord, maybe I shouldn't have ordered this. They had different colors of leaves than I ain't never seen in my life. I was wondering where that thing come from. I wanted, you know, just give me some regular lettuce. I don't need all them colorful things. They had all kind of stuff in there. But see, I didn't tell them how to do it. They done it the way they wanted to. You see, sometimes that's what gets us in trouble. We do it the way we want to, instead of following the leadership of God's word. And that's all he wants us to do, is just follow his word. It's just been so awesome, so powerful. And I want to give you a chance tonight just to, if you're here and you might want to just share what you've been feeling since we've started this Torah portion. I tell you, to me, it's been amazing. It's been a challenge. But see, once you listen to it, you listen to it on Monday morning, you won't be far in your day on Tuesday if you don't get up early and listen to it when something in your spirit will say, hey, you're missing something. What you forgot. And you don't have to call nobody and ask them. You already know. That word that I normally listen to, I didn't do it yet. See, he'll remind us. But we got to not turn that little still small voice off. We got to listen to it. So if you're here tonight, and you might have something that you've seen since we started this, and you want to just share it. And you might get asked to read. And in the reading, you might get asked to just share what it means to you. You know, you don't have to be called to preach to share what God's word means to you. So is there anybody here, you just got something that just reached out and grabbed you through God's word that you want to share tonight? When we do this, this is the quietest church in America. Well, I can tell you that this is being effective to a lot of people. You know, when we were up in Indiana, we went to AJ and Leanna's house, and it's sitting right there beside his chair where he sits there, and it's there. You just walk in, and it's there. And a lot of people that I've, you know, just met just asked about it. You know, so evidently they listening to these CDs, they listening to the recordings. See, it's just something about God's word. It's so awesome. It'll get in you. And you say, well, you know, I like to have one of those services where you get emotional. Listen, some of the most emotional times I've ever had in the last couple years, it's just been me and God. Nobody, my wife wasn't even with us. You know, you're driving down the interstate and people just look at you like, what's the matter with him? But when he shows up, it just changes the atmosphere. It just changes your surroundings. So who's first? If I need to, I could call your initials. And verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you have do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy. You know, and I was thinking the other day as I was driving up to Baton Rouge. I think I put, since we left for Indiana right before, when in December, 121 hours of driving. It's 5,000 and something miles I put on my truck. But you know, every hour that I drove, just that short period of time, I never did go and raise up the hood and make sure the engine was there. I never looked at the engine to make sure there was a starter on it. I always got in trusting that when I hit the key, it would start. You know, you look around tonight. I never seen a first person come up to their chair and check it out to make sure somebody didn't cut the legs and see if it would hold you up. You just sat down. Because we trusted that chair would be capable of letting us sit on it and holding us up. But yet, in all the power of God's word, sometimes we find it so hard to trust what it says. You know, you go to a restaurant. You just go look at the menu and you give your order. Trusting that whoever's in the back's cooking knows what they're doing. I ain't never walked in a restaurant and went and check out the cook. But I looked at the menu and I ordered what I wanted to eat and I trusted that it would come out the way I wanted it. But yet God's word tells me something. And so often we have a hard time grabbing a hold of it and believing it. We have a hard time trusting it. But we done got so much of God's word. He done proved himself so many times. We shouldn't have a problem trusting him. But what we got to do is get over some things. You know, some people don't even ask me no more. When it comes to, you know, if they... they don't know if they come into church or not. They don't know if they want to serve God or not. Told one guy one time, I said, what you need to do is learn how to get over some things and get your relationship right. Not with me. Not with Pastor Jesse. Not with nobody else in the church. Get your relationship right with God. And it'll change who we are. That's what God's looking for. It's for us to get right with him. And then it won't matter if I pass you on the road and I never seen you and I didn't wave at you. You don't know how many people tells me in a week, you didn't even wave at me. So I told one guy, I said, you know, every white truck in Plaquemine Parish, they think I know them because now I wave at every white truck. It wasn't Pastor. But the guy had a white truck, and he said, man, I passed you 3 or 4 times, and you didn't wave. So I just started waving at all the white trucks. So all them people think I know them now. But look, if I didn't wave at you, I probably didn't see you. Because sometimes if my wife wouldn't be with me, she's got to tell me, hey, you're going that way, because I'm looking over there. You know, She tells everybody when we're traveling that she don't drive. Oh, yes, she does. She's just not sitting in the driver's seat, but she drives. I'm going to get her one of those side seat driver's license. I asked her one time what was coming. She said, there's a car, and I looked, and I couldn't hardly see it. I said, well, baby, I didn't mean if he was by the Empire Bridge. I knew it meant if he was right there where I could make it out of this lane. But see, we'll be traveling and somebody will hit their brakes, and sometimes I won't see it. And she'll say, hey, they put their brakes on. See, God's word does that. When you read God's word, every now and then he'll let you know, hey, somebody's about to stop in the front of you. You need to pay attention to what you're doing. But see, when she does it, I ask her, do you want me to let you drive? Well, we shouldn't have to ask God if we want us to let him drive, because he should be driving. You know, you see these bumper stickers, God's my co-pilot. Well, that's why you're in the shape then, because he wants to be your pilot. You don't want to be the co-pilot. Co-pilot does what the pilot says. God wants to be the pilot. And he wants to be our every strength. He wants to help in everything we go through. But we have to come to a realization ourselves. It's personal. There ain't nobody in this church could serve God for me. I got to do it myself. And I'm telling you, we got to start pursuing it with everything. And it might seem like we're in prison. It might seem like we done got locked up. But it don't change the fact that he's God. And that's what Joseph done. In every situation, God was the same. And what he done, he provided for his whole family. Years before, when he was thrown in that prison, God foreknew there's about to be a famine in the land. And I'm making preparation. But you see, we look around because we're going through it. We're faced with it. Well, God, how are you making preparation? You know, imagine coming home after Katrina. You know what God was doing? Making preparation for us to receive his word that we're hearing now. He was getting us ready. Because we had to learn back then how to trust God. We had to learn how to just depend on him. And he was preparing our minds for the shift he was about to take. And helping us understand the truth of his word. And thank God he was so gracious back then for today. He cared about us so much that he prepared us way back then for what we're hearing today, that we could receive him at his word and be the people that God called us to be. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every person that come out tonight. God, I'm asking you that you would open up the mind of our understanding to your word like never before. God, that you would help us have our minds renewed every day in you. That you would just teach us, Lord, that we would get more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of who you are, who you want to be in us, where you're taking us, And just trust in you that no matter what you say, we'll trust you and be obedient to you, that faith will cause obedience. God, I thank you, Lord, because you're so careful and you're so mindful of your people and you love us so much that you begin to work it out and you begin to prepare us years ago for what you're doing today. I thank you for your word in the name of Jesus. Amen.